You're listening to Titans of the Trades. I'm your host, Ryan England, author of Hire Better People Faster and creator of the CoreFit Hiring System, a proven process to help growing companies attract and retain only the best. I'm on a mission to revolutionize the perception of the trades and elevate it to new heights. After growing up in a blue-collar family, my passion for making the trades cool again runs deep. If you're a titan in the industry and want to be on my show, stick around until the end and I'll reveal how you can be my next guest. Today, we're going to geek out a little bit. I'm your host, Ryan England, and in today's episode, we sit down with Jeff Davis. He is the SVP over at WorkWave, and he's over the ColeMarch brand, which is their marketing arm. But more importantly, his background is in building an applicant tracking system. He owned that company for a while, and he learned the ins and outs of helping people recruit the best people. And what he learned was that technology was such a small piece of your ability to find success. So let's dive in. I want to welcome to today's show, Jeff Davis. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Wow. So many different ways we can take this. You and I got to spend a little bit of time in the green room before this and chatted. But I'm just gonna hand it over to you and start with the same question I ask all my guests, because I love helping people understand that this process of being an entrepreneur, running a business, doesn't have to be as complicated or as difficult as we sometimes make it. So in your world, in what you do, what do you think is the biggest myth that people are selling themselves on? They keep telling themselves this, but you know it's not true and you want to shatter that for them today.
You know, it's pretty simple, really. I think they undersell the value of the positions that they're offering. These are good jobs. Field service jobs are good jobs. Commercial cleaning and contract security, where I've spent a lot of my career, are great jobs. They fill a certain niche of people that want what they have to offer. Freedom, flexibility, movement throughout the day, not having a manager, not sitting at a desk like I do all day long, right? Like, There are attributes to these things. And I think even employers overlook that sometimes. They have a lot more to offer than they believe. And that's one of the myths that we always try to overcome with clients is, even in a janitorial position, there's value.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think some people, they're designed for that. Like, not everybody's designed to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody's designed to climb the corporate ladder. Some people just want to go put in a good day's work for a good day's pay and go home and leave work at work. Like, I don't know about your job, but like my job, there's no leaving work at work. It follows me everywhere.
As I'm sitting in my house right now doing the podcast and working. Yes. And it never leaves me. It's always right down here in the basement.
And I get it. There's sometimes where I desire, like, it would be cool to have a job where I got to leave work at work. And I know so many hardworking men and women that just want to just make a life for themselves. And so they get into this kind of work because it just doesn't require extensive debt in a college education or these extensive certifications that put them in debt or slow down their career. They can get in, and a lot of them can become leads and just really do amazing things. In fact, so many people that I know that are in field services that own a company started working for someone else.
Right.
There's just so much opportunity here.
There's a ton. And, you know, as a parent who's about to send his first child off to college in like a year and a half and dreading this whole paycheck, you know, I really do look at the ROI. And I look at the field rep positions, and Pest is a great example. I mean, I've got a friend that owns a tree company, and I know what his sales reps out there are making. And it doesn't require a lot of training for these things. So these are great jobs. I mean, being an electrician is probably the route I would have gone. I would not have gone to college right now. The ROI is very hard on it, and I would have built a business on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, most of what I grew up in, so I grew up in blue collar and manufacturing space, got into the trades real early on because in manufacturing, you touch all of the trades and learned a ton. And then when I stepped out and started my own company, it was HVAC and electricians. And then we got into pest control. And then I was like, wow, there's a whole other world of the trades that we don't typically associate with the trades.
Sure.
That are in field services and amazing opportunities. So let me ask you, why is it that this myth exists? Like, why does it perpetuate?
You know, I think it's just a social stigma. I'm not sure the myth is as much in our world as it is in, you know, the outside world in corporate America and the white collar, the way that businesses operate. It's we had to fight it a lot. In my previous life, with a company called Quantech and applicant tracking system that's now called Hire by WorkWave, we work with contract security and cleaning companies. And, you know, janitorial work is pretty low on the rung of the ladders. But when you start to get in and learn the industry and you meet people and you talk to them, you learn why they like this job. They like to come in and not have somebody on top of them. They're talking to family while they're doing it. They want to work nights. It fills in the niche that they need for their life. And when you start to figure it out, they usually started off as a service provider. And then they said, hey, I'm going to go get a little capital. I raised some money. Let's start my own thing. Mm. And they come over here. And so I don't know if it's necessarily the stigma in the industry itself, unless maybe it's from, you know, bigger companies coming in and gobbling up smaller ones. I think everyone who's worked on the front lines understands how valuable they are. Mm. But it's the white collar world that kind of looks down on these jobs and these roles until they want to buy the company, a PE coming in there and buying up these companies left and right.
Yeah. The advent of the knowledge worker in the 80s, 90s really just shifted what was cool. I tell people, well, one of my goals is to make the trades cool again. Like, I am out to make the trades cool, make these field service jobs cool again. And I think back to that picture from the 30s where you get all these kids eating their lunch on that I-beam at the top of a skyscraper in New York, that black and white picture. Like, it was cool back then to be one of those. And now we do a lot in the steel erection space, and they just, a lot of people are like, this isn't cool. Like, I don't want my kids doing this work.
If I had to offer a prediction, I would say that, you know, we're having a shift once again where people have gone back. Gig work is not cool. Mm-hmm. How is that not the same? How is it not? It's just a different tweak. Really, you're still driving around and delivering food. And, you know, that's become a full occupation. So my prediction for 2024 is that you're going to win, Ryan. I think you're going to win. You're going to make the trades cool again. It's going to come back, especially with how expensive college has gotten.
Yeah. And the fact that there's not as many jobs there.
Right.
Like, there's no secret that there are millions of open jobs in the blue collar space that no one's taking, because at the beginning, they can't afford to pay off their college debt. But had they got into it 4 years ago, they'd be making six figures now.
Sure.
It's crazy. So one of the things we talked about when it comes to people, it comes to recruiting, it comes to building your teams, is that a lot of people do the same thing they've always done. They're just stuck in their ways, and they say, hey, I posted a job, but nobody wants to work anymore, or I can't find anybody good. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's funny. You were mentioning, you know, your cartoon graphic earlier, and I think it's really apropos. People go fish that same pond over and over and over. And when, if you're going to the big job board, we won't name the names. We don't want to name the names on here, but there's one big job board that advertises nonstop and has everything, and that's the only place you're going. You're missing the other pools. You're missing the other people that could be great employees, and you can get creative. There were places in the cleaning industry. People used to go and try to pull people out of places like shelters that needed a job to get out. And it was a great source. Churches were a great source. Paper, putting pieces of paper, flyers on the walls at churches was actually a great source. Going after ex-employees, ones that you would hire back that maybe had to leave for whatever issues in the past. And I think people just overlook that. They go and they try to find the next. And, you know, what we've seen with big job board is you get a lot of applicants. Most of them don't call you back. You put a lot of work on your recruiters or your office manager or you personally to follow up. And it just doesn't pan out. So it's the biggest mistake that I see people do, is they keep on trying to just do the same thing over and over and over. And they're beholden. They put more money at it and more money at it, and it doesn't work. Try referrals. Try referrals. It's the best way.
We found a study that said that 82% of your applications come from the big job boards, yet only 1.3% of your hires.
So I have some data on this, Ryan, believe it or not. Our own data from our own platform, Hired by Workwave, and we just did it for a presentation at our user conference. We're not quite as flipped as that, but we did see about 80% of the volume coming from the big job board, and we saw about 40% of the hires that were sourced from there. So it was a source, but even at 40%, we still make the argument you're quality hires, the people that you really want, are taking the time to go to your company website and fill out your full application. They're not doing quick apply. And Tuesday at lunch, by the way, that's when most people apply for their jobs. They're really angry Tuesdays around lunchtime. That's when our volume would spike in the ATS, world. So it's those are the quality people that take the time to really come over and say, okay, how do I start with you? I've researched your company. I've looked at who you are. Now I want to be with you. I want an opportunity. They're more likely to come through the door and actually be hired.
So you're talking about the passive job seeker. That's what you're talking about. It's the passive job seeker. And it's a huge principle that we employ here. In fact, most of the work we do over at Core Matters is about how do we target that passive seeker. Yes, we go after those active job seekers, the small percentage that's on the job boards, because nobody ever comes to me not bleeding and needing people right away. So we fill the gap with that. But talk to me a little bit about this passive job seeker. What have you seen working? You mentioned to me before the show that Workway is doing some stuff around employer branding. Explain some of that stuff for our listeners and what they can do to start tapping into that valuable market.
Well, and if we're being honest here, it's not about what you need an employee to do. It's about what you're going to do for them if you want to get them in the door. Yeah. And that's all about your brand. Why are you better? You know, how are you better? Why does somebody need to come work with you? And, you know, before you build it, first of all, you got to have that message. Okay. So why, what's different in your company? What's different at Workway? We've got full pages of our company itself. Just dedicated to how great we are of a place to work. And we are. It's a great place to work. But then you've got to get people to that place. And there are different tactics you can use to get that. You know, one that's really not used a lot right now that I think people are starting to pick up on, it's being creative with, is TikTok. And you can't really do a lot of advertising on TikTok, but in building that employer brand out there, going out and talking to a specific demographic, whoever you're targeting, doing funny videos, whatever to make them think about you and how much fun people are having working at your company, it's a great tactic. Social's always been a tactic. You can use basic marketing tactics you would use anywhere else, so peer association, right? So tell a great story online and your social media feeds, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Put something out there about employees and you try to reach people, try to talk to them and give them a story of how successful one of your employees has been. They've moved up to a supervisor role. They've overcome a bunch of adversity. Everyone loves those stories. And it makes them feel good to know that the employer actually supported them. So there are a lot of factors you can use to reach the passive applicant. If they haven't thought about it, job's good. I get paid, you know, nothing's wrong. But man, you know, I'm looking over here at my neighbor and they're working at this company. And gosh, look at all this stuff that I see coming out from them all the time. How much fun they're having. How great it is. The pay may not even be better, but I think I'd enjoy that more. I'm going to go check out their website. Oh, look, they've got a good employer brand. This looks awesome. I'm going to go ahead and apply. That's how the journey acts.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Oversimplified. And I want to call out a distinction that I picked up on. I want to make sure that our listeners pick up on this too. Get on social, share a story. Talk about what your employees, talk about the value of being a part of the team. Do not get on social and just say, we're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring, which is what most people default to because that's what they're used to. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen a LinkedIn page or a Facebook page, a company page, and it's just three times a day, we're hiring for this job, we're hiring for this job. And it just makes you look desperate. It just over the top goes, wait a minute, if you're hiring that much and you're that desperate, maybe I don't want to work there.
Right.
We believe that the saying, you've heard this before, people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses.
Managers,
yeah. People. Yet every single job post I've ever seen is about a job. It's not about the people. It's not that story that you're talking about.
Right.
And I think that story is so critical. And if you don't know, and here's my opinion, if you don't know how to tell your story and you don't know how to bottle it up and share it, go find your favorite employee and ask them just to, hey, can I record you for 60 seconds? Tell me why you like working here. There's your story. Post it on social media and see how well that does.
There's your TikTok right there.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So passive seeker, what are some other ways? I mean, you were in the tech space, so you saw this. You helped people solve this exact problem, being able to find good people. What else have you seen work besides the social media piece?
So the social media pieces, the guerrilla marketing, referrals are huge. I don't want to understate that. Those are usually your best source of applicants. It's word of mouth. Ask. Pay a referral bonus. It will pay off in the long run, especially from your retained employees, people that have been there 6 months to a year. That's your model, right? I mean, I've come from industries where the goal was just to get somebody there to stick around for 6 months. Like 6 months was considered good. Mm-hmm. A year, 5 years, even better. So that's always, you know, one thing that we looked at too in the industries was the hiring and retention based on generations. Mm-hmm. And looking at generations. Now, I'm not advocating for anything that's illegal. You can't go out there and you know, be too biased in your hiring practices. But there are correlations between older generations and retention rates. Mm-hmm. So it is something to take a look at. Older people tend to stay in jobs later. You know, you're later in your career and you're like, all right, this is where I am. I'm going to stick around. I'm not looking to job hop to the next one. They tend to be a little more loyal. That's definitely something to look at. And there are technology pieces out there besides just job boards. One of the big ones that was floating around for the past few years is programmatic ad buying.
Yeah.
And I have seen some results when people can go out there and do programmatic. You're fishing in a different pond, but you know, you're still going after active job seekers that are going out. ZipRecruiter's always had good offerings. Job Target was one that we worked with and I really liked. They were easy to work with. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. It's not as cheap as doing the flyer on the church wall. Yeah. That's very cheap.
For those of you listening that don't know what programmatic is, in the next couple of weeks, I've got an SVP for a programmatic company that's going to be on the show. He's a friend of mine. He worked for one of the job boards, got into programmatic, and it can be a game changer, but you are right. It's not cheap. But you know what? When you look at the big picture, when your cost per application comes down, when your cost per hire comes down, when you're better managing your budget, it's all relative. Because burning $100 bills just to put it on the job boards isn't cheap either.
Yep.
So,
yep, it is not.
You know, one of the things that we found in the employee referral programs, and I want to call this out because you said they are good, and I think they're absolutely the best source. You're going to get the highest quality people for a whole bunch of reasons. But one of the things that we found that keeps them from working is the fact that people, your employees, don't want to take the risk that it's going to hurt a friendship or cause a Thanksgiving with family to be awkward. And what we found is two big shifts can really impact this. The first one is make it an employee referral program. Reward for the behavior of the referral. Do not make it an employee retention program. It is not your employee's job to retain their referral. It is your job as the employer to retain them. So if you want to pay them a referral bonus, you pay them a referral bonus. But don't make it conditional on the fact that the person stays for 90 days, because that's your job as the employer to make sure they're the right fit. And it's your job to retain them. That one shift we've seen is take a lot of the pressure off of people. The other thing, we do this with customers all the time. We teach our customers how to refer us. We give them collateral. We give them social media posts to share. We do all of this with our customers, but we never do it with our employees. If you've got a janitor, they don't know how to refer you. They don't know how to sell you and market you. They'll do their best. But imagine if you gave them some collateral, if you gave them something to share on social media, if you gave them some talking points. Coach your people. Those two changes have we seen just phenomenal results with employer referral programs.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Ryan. The one of the concepts that we had kind of pushed out there was I run Colmark. So I run the marketing services division of WorkWave. And we've got a very large print operation. We do not print brochures, hang those little yard signs that go in the yards. We do the majority of those in the industry. And we've launched employer branded websites. So basically, you know, employer branding, hiring websites recently. And one of the thoughts in the industry was, how do we tie in print to that? How do we put those postcards together so you can go out and arm and say, hey, you know, while you're out and about, or while you're at church, while you're at your, you know, a party this weekend, here's something that's got a referral code on it. How do we tie people back into it? We haven't done it yet, but hey, we're looking for a beta client. So if anyone's listening and wants to jump in and give it a shot, we'll be more than happy to test it out with you.
Well, let's talk offline. I might have some people in mind. So, Jeff, this has been amazing. I feel like this is a good point to kind of wrap up and revisit some of the talking points that we've had here, because you've really unpacked a lot in the last 15 minutes. And I want to make sure that the people that are behind the windshield right now, which is where I think most of our listeners are listening to this, what they can unpack. So a couple of things I wanted to repeat, and then any closing thoughts from you. But one of them is just because the job boards is what you've always done, just know that there are other ways, better ways to really get in front of the right people and get the quality up. Focus on the things that are easy for you, We didn't talk too much about Easy, but I know that Easy is something that we talked about a little bit. And one of the ways
really
that
makes Easy really makes
is that passive job seeker, employer branding, employee referrals. Like, there's so much that you presented us there. Any final thoughts?
You know, it's the one thing we really didn't touch on was technology, and you know where technology's role, and you know, coming from Workwave, I've got to talk about it a little bit here.
Yeah,
it's really to facilitate your process. That's really where technology. Deploying an ATS is never going to be the magic wand to all of a sudden solve your hiring issues or your retention issues. Mm-hmm. Just like an engagement platform is not going to completely solve it. It's how you implement it, how that data flows. Mm-hmm. It can be great. Because you can have people that you hire, you paperlessly onboard, the data flows right through to payroll, and oh, that's so much easier on your full office staff. Or it can be painful, where you've got a whole lot of stopgaps and you've got different processes. So it's one of the things that I would tell everyone to look at, that when you're out there looking at technology, it's not the fix, it's not a magic wand, but it's a tool for you to use to help improve your own process. But focus on your process and focus on your people. They're going to solve it in the long run.
I love that, because if we know people don't leave jobs, they leave people. We've got to focus on our people, not right. just focus on the tools and the training and all of the process stuff and the software technology. If we really want to solve this problem, make the trades cool again and get people really applying for these jobs and sticking around. So one last question. You had mentioned that at Workwave, you have some kind of report you can share with our listeners. They can learn a little bit more about Workwave, what you guys do, but also get a little bit of value from you. Tell me about that.
We do. Every year at Coal March, we put together a marketing benchmark report for the year. It is packed with information. It's specifically for the green and pest industries, but you can apply to any type of field service. They're working out there to give you a lot of information on data, on leads that are coming through. What is everyone else seeing? It gives you a place to benchmark your digital marketing efforts against everyone else.
Awesome. And where do they go to get that?
So you can go to coalmarch.com, CoalMarch.com, and click on resources, and it's the first thing that pops up right there. We can probably add them into the notes of the show. I can send you a link to that also.
That'd be great.
Very, very simple. Yeah, we are the marketing services group within Workwave. So we've got a lot of access to data that other people can't provide.
Awesome.
Totally free.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being on the show today. Lots of great information, lots of real practical how-to stuff too, which I love. So thank you again for being my guest.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Ryan England here. Thank you so much for listening to Titans of the Trades. If you're a titan in the construction, manufacturing, or skilled trades industry and would like to be a guest on my show, please visit podcast.corematers.com. If you found value in this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot on your phone and share it with a friend or post it on social. And if you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Titans of the Trades. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, click the subscribe button. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and get me one step closer to solving the labor crisis facing the industry. Want to know more about how we're doing that? Go to our website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening.